Today's episode is sponsored by Adam and Eve. You know, I read so many stories about cheating partners and unhappy marriages. Maybe people wouldn't be in such unhappy relationships if they spent more time nurturing their love life. That's why you should check out today's sponsor, Adam and Eve. They've got toys for men, toys for women, and toys for... how should I put this? Well, it's not exactly r/am I the butthole, more like r/I'm in the butthole. And yeah, I realize that ordering adult toys can be a little scary because you may be concerned about privacy. Don't worry, Adam and Eve offers discreet and free shipping for your package. Trust me, these people are experts in your package. You can get 50% off on just about any item, along with free shipping and rush processing. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Then enter code r/ at checkout. That's r/, r/SLASH at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code r/ to get your discount, plus 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Use code r/. Today's episode is sponsored by Liquid IV. I work out every week, so it's important to stay hydrated. Plus, on top of working out, I've got a 3-year-old whose favorite after-meal activity is to run laps, like the little psychopath that she is. Clearly, I need all the hydration I can get. That's why I like to use Liquid IV for my workouts and just for my daily drinking. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. With 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the #1 powdered hydration brand in America. And I mean, yeah, vitamins and electrolytes are nice and all, but what about taste? They've got white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and my favorite, lemon lime. Tastes great to me. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code r/ at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code r/ at liquidiv.com. Welcome to r/relationships, where a husband literally tortures his pregnant wife. Our next Reddit post is from Throwaway. I feel so bad even having to write this. I have severe claustrophobia. Like, I can't stand any sort of space that makes it feel like I can't move. I hate planes and backseats of cars and just generally anywhere like that. I feel like I can't breathe or like I'm gonna get suffocated. I know it's completely ridiculous, but I guess that's why it's a phobia. My husband clearly knows this, especially because I don't like being laid on or held down for the same claustrophobic reasons. Last night, I was retrieving something from my closet. It's a small closet, like big enough for me to get inside, but if you close the door, I'd be jammed between the clothes, shelves, and the door. And that's exactly what my husband did. I immediately started to lose it, and he was holding the door shut from the other side, and he was laughing while I begged to open the door. I tried to stay calm, but I genuinely started to cry. My stomach was churning. I felt like I was gonna either suffocate or have a heart attack. He put something against the handle so that I couldn't get out. Then he left me in there for 15 minutes while I sobbed and he laughed. I eventually vomited inside the closet, and that's what made him let me out. I feel so horrific. Why would my husband do this? He knows that I'm claustrophobic. He could hear me crying and begging. I feel violated. Is that overdramatic? Then OP posted an update. I'm not sure if anyone really asked for an update, but I left him. I went to my friend's place and I'm divorcing him. The comments helped me open my eyes to so many more things. I'm pregnant and I'll have the baby, but I won't have it around him. Yo! I don't know what I'll do, but I'll do it away from him. All right. Okay. All right. So OP is extremely claustrophobic, which makes this post so much worse. But the thing is, OP doesn't even need to have claustrophobia to make this post horrific. This dude locked his newly pregnant wife in a closet for 15 minutes and laughed while she cried? What is he, a psychopath? Add the claustrophobia on top of that, and that's just a level of cruelty that's inhuman. You know what I really want to know? Let me check the comments, see if I can find this out. I want to know who cleaned up the vomit. Did he at least clean up the vomit, or did he force her to clean up her own vomit after he traumatized her? Let me see. All right. Unfortunately, OP doesn't say, which is a shame because that would be a very juicy detail. Also, she did say in a comment that he thought that she was laughing, but I think that's a lie. Who laughs for 15 minutes straight? I think the maximum duration laugh that someone can reasonably sustain is like maybe 2 minutes and then it starts to wear off, but you can cry for 15 minutes pretty easily. So I think OP's husband was just lying to cover his own butt. Our next Reddit post is from Throwaway Everything. My husband Owen and I have been trying for a baby for years with no luck. I'd be happy to adopt, but Owen's family is against it and has influenced my husband to also be against it. After our second year of trying, I begged my husband to go with me to get a checkup to see if either of us or both of us is infertile. He was strongly opposed to this, as all the men in his family are extremely fertile, but eventually he gave in, and it turns out his sperm count is extremely low. He was heartbroken, as was I, and we both got therapy. After a year of no longer trying, I did get pregnant, but I lost the baby and we were devastated. Owen blamed himself and proposed that we start the process of getting into a family planning center for a sperm donor, which I agreed to. He asked me that we not tell either our family or our friends about this, and I agreed because I would never want to emasculate him. With the help of our donor, I was able to successfully become pregnant, and we had our little girl last year. She's healthy and progressing amazingly, and I thank God for her every day. I kept my promise and I never told anyone. However, Owen is struggling with connecting with our little girl. Here's where the trouble begins. Last month, he went out of town with his brothers for their friend's bachelor party. While on the trip, Owen told his brothers about our infertility issues and that our baby wasn't biologically his. One of his brothers must have told his wife, who told my husband's mother. I don't know why this woman would tell my husband's mother, except that this woman never liked me. Their mother then came to our house and called me a lying whore and tried to get my husband to leave with her. He just stood there, silent. I told her that it was Owen's decision not to tell anyone, and she asked him if that was true, and again, he was silent, which my mother took as me being the liar. She then went to our nursery and started taking everything she'd ever given us for the baby back. I told her I didn't care about that stuff, that I made more than enough to buy everything she gave us myself with better quality. This set her off, and she called my baby a filthy bastard. When she said that, I did something that I know was harsh, but I believe she deserved it. I physically pushed her out the door. I didn't hit her, but I put my hands on her shoulders, pushing her out the door, and I threw all of her terrible things out with her. After everything calmed down, I realized that my husband had said nothing when his mother was berating me and calling me a liar, and when she called our child a filthy bastard. So I asked him why he was silent, and he said that he wasn't raised to be disrespectful the way that I was, and that his mother hadn't said anything that wasn't true, she was just hurtful with what she'd said, and that we should let it go and wait for his mother to forgive us? What? I told him that I would never let it go, and that his mother and anyone who agreed with her was never welcome in our home, and that I don't need to be forgiven when I've done nothing wrong. He then said the house was his, and as the head of the family, it was his decision. I told him fine, but why did he allow her to call me a liar and a whore when those things weren't true, and our child shouldn't be called a bastard? He just repeated that he wouldn't argue with his mother. After that, I stopped speaking to him, gathered up my daughter's things and purse, and walked out the door with her. He tried to stop me and told me that I couldn't take his daughter anywhere without him, and I lost a little bit of composure I had left. I told him that she wasn't his daughter. He proved he didn't see her as his daughter when he allowed his mother to call her a filthy bastard and told him that she wasn't his. He broke down into tears and begged me to come back inside, but at the time, I felt nothing. He looked pathetic to me. I've taken my family with me and gone back home to my parents and told my family the truth, which feels so good. They're completely in support of my decision, and they're not allowing my spineless husband anywhere near us because he still refuses to apologize to me or set the record straight with his family. However, I told the one sister-in-law whom I'm close with the truth, and she told the rest of the family the full story. Half of the family is understanding, while the other half is on his mother's side, but they're all mad at my husband. One thing's for certain, I will not return to his house until he apologizes to me and promises to protect me and his daughter fiercely. Then, a few days later, OP posted an update. Apparently, after I left my husband's house, my mother-in-law, brother-in-law, and sister-in-law accused me of cheating. I had already begun speaking with the lawyer after Owen refused to tell the truth to his family. But knowing that he let his family tell other people that I cheated is like getting punched in the chest. I'm now renting a nice two-bedroom apartment. My siblings and their partners have helped me furnish it, and my top priority is ensuring my baby has everything she needs. Currently, I'm working to create a cozy nursery for her and hiring a nanny. Facing the end of my marriage is terrifying, but I'm learning to accept my new reality. When I notified Owen that I was going to file for divorce, he started calling and messaging nonstop. His messages ranged from begging me to come home, telling me that he'll tell the truth and go to therapy again, begging to see our baby, and then threatening to drag me home. I told him the divorce was happening whether he liked it or not, because he failed as a husband and failed even worse as a parent. He then sent photos and videos of my things in the garbage and him and my brother-in-law trashing the nursery. His exact words were, "I don't need it anymore." In the most disturbing video, he threw our baby's car seat in the dumpster. I don't recognize him or his behavior anymore. He claims to miss me and his daughter, but is trying to make his behavior my fault for not doing what I'm told. This is not the man I agreed to marry. The man I married was smart, kind, gentle, thoughtful, and funny. But this vileness from him was waiting for the moment that I didn't obey and take the disrespect from his family to save him from humiliation. Before the fallout from his mother, he was nothing like this. This is certainly not an excuse, but I believe it all centered on him feeling emasculated and humiliated by his family. I just can't believe that he couldn't at least stand up to his family for me and our baby, the baby he said that he would die for. I'm not blocking Owen, as my lawyer said to email everything that Owen says to me to him, but the constant threats make me scared to leave my home. Owen knows where I work, and he's repeatedly told me that he will drag us back if that's what it takes, and that I'm making him do this. My lawyer and I are working on a restraining order, but every woman who was attacked by her ex-husband knows that restraining orders don't keep you safe. However, things took a turn when my father-in-law showed up on my parents' doorstep. My father-in-law asked to speak with me. My parents told him they would call me and ask, but that if I said no, then that was final and he wouldn't be welcome back. I only agreed to speak to my father-in-law because he told my parents that he was there to apologize for his family and set the record straight. My dad called me because my father-in-law was blocked from calling me, and when I picked up, my father-in-law immediately apologized for his wife's behavior. He said that he wanted to hear my side of the story because he didn't believe that I cheated. I thanked him. I was never close to my father-in-law, but we've always been civil, and I let him know that of course I didn't cheat. I told him about his son's infertility and that Owen proposed that we get a donor. I told him that it was very clearly his son's decision, and that because my father-in-law and his family put blood as the only valid form of family, my husband made me lie so that our child could be treated equally. After I finished, my father-in-law seemed stunned. He was quiet for a while, then asked if his wife and son could come over and see my daughter in person because they missed us and they were ready to be a family again, but I told him no. My father-in-law then asked if there was anything Owen could do to fix the marriage, and again, I told him no. My father-in-law tried to say that I was being unfair, but my dad stepped in and said that father-in-law was overstaying his welcome. Before I hung up, I told the father-in-law that his son was sending me abusive messages daily and that if he was truly sorry, then he should make his son stop. Then I hung up. My parents said that my father-in-law was irritated that I didn't respectfully say goodbye or give Owen a chance to save his marriage. But then he left with little fuss after my parents laid into him about raising his swine of a son to threaten his wife and child. Telling his father must have worked because I haven't gotten a single message from Owen since then. I don't want anything from that man. Not child support, not alimony, not the house, or any of his other assets. I just need him to agree to the divorce and give up his parental rights so that my little girl can grow up with a family who loves her unconditionally. I have a good degree and a great job. My child will be fine without him. Owen's lawyer has made it clear that they're going to fight us for full custody, and my soon-to-be ex-husband has significantly more money than me, but my lawyer is confident in our case and I trust them. Today, my mother-in-law has been trying to contact me. Sorry, I'm laughing. I'll tell you why in a minute. Today, my mother-in-law has been trying to contact me as she, as she wants to be in my daughter's life and is saying she's ready to accept her as she is. As if my daughter needs to be accepted by her. If it's up to me, their whole family will never see us again. Okay, let me tell you why I'm laughing. I'm imagining the... I'm imagining the judge. The judge is presiding over this case between OP and Owen. And Owen's lawyers say, "Your Honor, my client wants nothing more than to be this little girl's father because he loves her deeply." Then OP's lawyer just gestures to the TV screen that shows the video of Owen throwing the baby carrier into the dumpster. Yeah, I'm with the lawyer on this. I think OP's got a pretty good case. Also, I gotta throw in there, big W on OP's parents. The support they gave her is phenomenal. They screened the family for her, they kicked out the father-in-law, they helped her furnish the new nursery, they took her in without question. OP comes from an amazing family, which is really ironic considering how terrible of a family Owen comes from. Wow, hold on. Okay, I was just looking through the comments, looking through OP's comments down below, and listen to this. "Owen has destroyed hundreds of thousands of dollars of my electronics, clothes, furniture, and paintings. That's the only thing that I'll be making him pay me back for. I don't want any of his assets, just the things I worked hard to earn and he destroyed." Man, I have to wonder if maybe OP is exaggerating, or does she literally mean hundreds of thousands as in 200K plus? Because that is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So like, even putting aside the fact that that's a ton of money in general, how much stuff do you have to own to be worth 200K in electronics, clothes, furniture, and painting? Man, now I'm trying to figure it out. What is the average value of a person's, all that stuff, clothes, furniture, paintings, whatever? It's probably less than 200K, right? It's gotta be. So that means OP has a ton of really nice stuff, and almost necessarily they have a really big house to fit all that stuff inside of. And then that's what she bought, but her husband has even more stuff. So wait, are we talking like... this couple's rich, rich. I'm thinking like millions and millions of dollars between these two people. Yeah, I'm not really sure if that's super relevant to the post. It's just I was shocked because that's a lot of stuff. If someone destroyed, if you add up every single thing I own, yeah, I don't think it comes close to 200K. I guess it'd be a little bit easier for a woman to hit 200K because women tend to accumulate, you know, really expensive clothes and shoes and purses at a faster rate than men do. So maybe that's why it was so high. I think even if I added my car to the value, I still don't think I have 200K worth of stuff.
That was r/relationships. And if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.